this day from the prophet Isaiah, beginning with chapter 40, verse 1. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. And the grass withers, and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass, for the grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. The word of God for us, the people of God. Today, as we begin this Advent season and this first Sunday of Advent, we begin a new sermon series, Comfort, Candles, and Christmas. And during the Advent season, we are certainly here to prepare our hearts and our lives for the celebration of the Christ child. And also, we prepare our lives for seeing Christ come again. And so we have here this passage from Isaiah chapter 40 where we will be exploring throughout this Advent season. And we begin especially with those all-important words right in the very beginning, comfort, oh comfort your people. There are so many layers of meaning to the word comfort. Sometimes the word comfort is used, we know, to offer an encouraging word to somebody. It's often a pat on the back, or sometimes during difficult times, comfort may come through maybe quiet presence or quiet prayer. And this is one of the meanings of comfort. But one of the other meanings, of course, as we say in the South, is we like to talk about comfort food. That's another meaning for the word comfort. Of course, it's not just in the South, but people all over the world. We have food that brings us comfort, especially during this time of year, during football. For some of us, there's just certain items we place out on the table. Whether things are going well or not, we're going to have the comfort to get us through that whole entire game. Of course, the power of food and the comfort it can bring was brought home to me a few years ago when Pastor Jen and I were on our honeymoon and we went to Italy. And one of the first things I learned is not many people go to Italy in February. But we went there during that time of year, and in the beginning, Jen got sick. And then as I was taking care of her, I got sick. And so there was a point one day when I was walking through this cobblestone street in this ancient, centuries old city, and I'm sure it should have been beautiful and awe-inspiring, but all I can remember is just how awful I felt. And I was hungry, and I wasn't really in the mood for all the authentic food that they had there in the area. And I know that's why we were there, to get a taste of Italy, but really I just wanted a taste of home. And we were walking along, and the street had this turn in the corner there, and I remember walking and realizing that there was a glow off in the distance. And I thought to myself, I can't be that sick. But the farther we walked, the brighter it got. And sure enough, there really was. Coming out of a window, there was this yellow glow. And the closer I got, the more joyous I became as I realized there was the golden arches right there. That was one of the best tasting Big Macs and fries I've had in a long time. Food can bring comfort. There's definitely an important layer of meaning there as well. But when we look at the word comfort, the English word, we go back to where it came from. We realize that come means with, fort from fortress. And so to with fortress, to fortify, to comfort someone is to bring them strength for the journey. to bring them strength for the journey. And this is what God is telling his people, because the prophet Isaiah is giving the news to the people Israel that they have been waiting for to hear. You see, at this point in the story of God's redemption of the world through his people Israel, Israel is in exile. Because of their sin, their temple had been destroyed by foreigners. Their families had been torn apart. They had been pulled into exile where they had been there for so long. And now, after all these years, the voice of the Lord is coming to them and saying to them, their time of exile is over. Finally, the time for them to return home has come. And though the mountains will be made low, the valleys will be raised up, the rough places will be made smooth, they will be able to make their way home, finally. And of course, when we look at this story found in God's movement for the redemption of the world, we realize that it actually points to a greater story, a story that we find in Christ Jesus. For with the coming of Christ, we begin to realize that we ourselves, the whole world, in fact, is in exile. We are in exile to our sin. We find ourselves in darkness and the fear that we live. And it is precisely through Christ Jesus that that way home that seemed so impossible before is now made a way clear. For it is precisely by Christ Jesus, the Messiah, that we have salvation. We have a way to return back to our God, back to the life that he created us for, back to the freedom and joy and love and peace that he so desires for all of us to know and experience. And we know that the early church, the early Christians, they knew the significance of Christ. Because when we look at the Gospels, the Gospel of Mark literally begins by quoting Isaiah right here. This is the part of the story that they knew was so important. And we see the same thing in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke, as they're taking a look at John the Baptist, the voice crying in the wilderness. For this is the point now, that if Jesus is Messiah, if he really is the Savior, then it really is the time for the exile to be done and for all of us to leave our sin behind and return home to God, to a new and right way of living. I think about the Israelites and all the time they had spent in exile. I think about all the things that they had been praying about and hoping for, all the songs that they sang, waiting for this moment. And I think about we as Christians, as we prepare for the celebration of the birth of the Christ child, all the things that stir in our hearts, the hopes that we hold, the things that we sing, the items, the places that we pray for God to be at work. Earlier this month, we just started yesterday, December, and of course Luke is already thinking about Christmas. It's interesting to see where we've been going the last couple of years. A few years ago, Luke knew at this point exactly what he wanted. He wanted one thing, a yellow bicycle. And he maintained that constantly all the way to the point of Christmas. It seems that the older he gets, the longer the list gets. And this year, he said something that he really wanted for Christmas. It was at the very top of the list, and I remember thinking how surprised I was, because I've heard him talk about it before. I just didn't realize how important it was for Luke to receive it, because Luke, this Christmas, really wants to see snow. And I've tried to explain to him before, we live in Ocala. It is highly unlikely that it's going to snow here. And so in previous Christmases, we had the cotton-filled little snowballs and things we've given to him. That doesn't really seem to satisfy him that much. He's really interested in snow. And so once again, I was trying to think through how to explain to him that it's probably not going to snow this Christmas. And as I was pondering that, I began to realize that, you know, God may just have a sense of humor after all. So every year we take Luke back up to the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and he had a couple of surgeries there, and now we hope in just a few years they're going to discharge him. And so now we go back up there for what I hope is just a routine, incredibly unexciting visit. But that means we still have to go back up there, and the only time they had available for the time that we were available meant that we have to leave Christmas morning. And that means that at that very last present that Luke is opening up, as he's tearing the paper off that very last gift, I'm going to say, okay, time to load up in the car. it's going to be time to go. And I started to think about it. You know, Christmas night, we're going to be up somewhere in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and the very day after, we'll be in Philadelphia. And that drive up, if I had to guess, I'm going to have a 9-year-old boy in the back seat just praying to God, please let it snow. And he's going to have a dad up in the front seat going, please don't let it snow. Not really quite sure how God's going to work all of that out, but at the last service, someone came out, they said, you know what, I really like you, Pastor, but I really hope he sees snow this Christmas. But I think about all the things that we hope for, that we pray for this time of year. And what it says in Isaiah there is it says that as we are in this journey, that we will see the glory of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And that is my great hope for each of you as we enter into this Advent season, as we journey together towards the celebration of the birth of the Christ child, that you too will see anew the glory of the Lord. That he will be revealed to you in all the many different ways he does, that all the many different ways he speaks to us in our lives. May you know that the Lord is with you, that he travels along, that his love continues to enfold you. And one of the most important things for each one of us is no matter where we are in our journey, no matter where we begin, whether we are experiencing the loss of someone whom we love, or for some of us right now, this is a season of great joy. But no matter where we are, we all need comfort food. And that is precisely what the Lord provides for us this day, with the bread of life and the cup of joy. He gives us strength for the journey. And so my great hope for you is as we begin this Advent season, may this Advent you receive, this bread and this cup and the strength that it gives through Christ Jesus to strengthen you, that you may see the glory of the Lord in these coming weeks. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we just thank you for this gift of your love in Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the promise that you have given us in him, that we may no longer need to be steeped in our exile, in our brokenness, and in our sin. But you call us, you make a way for us to return back to you, to life in your love and in your hands. And so, Lord, as we receive this bread and this cup from you, may we receive your grace anew. May we be encouraged and strengthened and renewed to walk this journey in faith and joy. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.